Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
No. And hold the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. Your host, Brother Alfred, and Chris Pimkovi.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the Hour of Power with the Power Squad. It's in the house. This is your host, Brother Alfred, and my boy, my number one sidekick, my man, Boy Tone, is in the house. Yes, he's definitely here. And today we got a special guest. We're on in there today. We have the Real Dads Network, live and in effect, is in the house. So, you know, we want to just give him a round of applause, appreciate them today. And let you know, that we got support and right here for you. All right. So, you know, listen, I just want to tell you everybody, you know, it's been a hell of a week. So I'm going to start it off really real quick with some breaking news. So let's get into the news. Tuned in to the NSF News segment, Brother Alfred and Brother Tone. So let's get ready to get into it. All right. We are getting into it today. We just wanted to let you know what's going on. As you may or may know, as far as the news is concerned, Trump is still a Trump. And that's with a C. So, you know, I am believe it or not,
did you say Trump?
A conservative.
Did you say Trump or Trump?
Both. with the C and a R. So we really want to get into that a little bit. He completely is like a 4-year-old baby, 1 or 2-year-old child complaining about, I won this election. It was totally bogus. It has always been going good. It's been going all right. We win this. You'll see January. I will be getting my 4 years, more years. I'm sitting there looking at the damn thing. And as far as the news is concerned, you know, this man is so irresponsible. He claiming to fame was a damn TV show that I ain't never really watched. I maybe watched one show, and then I saw Amaretta. Yeah, that's real fake news. Okay, so we get into that going into it. And I'm sitting there watching it. I say, okay, I watch it. Then I find out she likes to suck white men. Boop, 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 boop. So, you know, she ain't really a sister. She's more like she's like a clone of Candace Owens. So I just left it alone on that. So, you know, and as far as the COVID's going on,
he
was infatuated
he was infatuated, or he is infatuated with Michelle Obama. And I'm going to go on record and say that because we're
live. All right. Well, here's what else is going on in the news. Let's check this out. We have the latest news on the COVID sign. Yes. There's been a spike peak going across the nation. There's hot spots across the nation. The CDC does advise people, if you do not have to, emphasis on have, if you do not have to travel, please stay within your state borders, stay within your town. Please do not be out there traveling all over the place. Yes, you got loved ones, but for the sake of your loved ones, please do not, be traveling across this nation, across the world, period. You are spreading the disease. Be safe. Keep it going. We have gotten over 200 million cases within a week's passing. All right? To quote Brock Lesnar from NBC News, by the end of this broadcast, we will have over another 2,000 or 3,000 cases diagnosed with COVID. We cannot be doing that, okay? We got to be safe, keep yourself safe, keep your family safe, and please doing that. On other news, as you may know.
Wait, one second on that COVID thing. Really quick, I'm going to be 10 seconds. Just to add to it, make sure you're washing your hands thoroughly, cleaning under your nails thoroughly. We don't think that it's traveling by way of food, but it is traveling by way of food indirectly, because if the person is not in the know that they have it and they are touching the food that they are passing on to you, as in fast food, then you
right.
have a risk of exposure.
Right.
And it's spiking extremely. Son had a scare. He had to go in and get tested because someone that we knew has it, but we didn't learn until after the fact, after the good old pastor opened the doors of the church to the congregation to return. Everybody ran in. They've been missing each other in that interaction. And a lot of people got sick from that experience, unfortunately. Not me. I wasn't there.
Bad church. Bad church. Can't not allow that and it happened. But y'all, on further news, let's see. The gentleman that played in the suit, not the voice, but the man who plays Darth Vader has passed away. Please let you know that, you know, keep his families in your prayers. You know, I did not even know his. I thought that was a brother all the way. I sit there and I swear to God, I thought that was a brother in there. I mean, what else can I say about that? Jesus, what the heck is going on over there? I say, oh God. All right, so you learn stuff every day. Also, in news, to scare us people going back into the COVID, the news people thought it would be privilege. To put the number one man that scares everybody in Africa and scares all across the world because he wants to eliminate the minority race. Bill Gates made an appearance on the news again, finding out he's giving a big load of money coming into this cure for the CDC and Pfizer, and he's putting money all over the place for this cure. This man, I do not trust this man. Now, if he said he never showed up on TV, I probably would have taken that damn cure first in line. But I do not trust Bill Gates. That man been going to Africa testing them like test tube babies. I do not like this man at all. I mean, he's crazy as a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, he's just crazy. But in other situations in the news, we also want to make sure to know it is coming to that time. It's winter time on the East Coast, going in into the far east, into the west. West Coast, it's slightly warmer. I'm about 84 degrees. That's 80 to 40, 70 degrees. 70 degrees will be the low on the passing time. Please keep your body warm. Make sure your body's adjusted to the weather as well. Also, we're asking everybody, please, get yourself a thermometer in your house. Make sure that you do have one. If you do not have one, have a full-on first aid kit, seeing the COVID signs that's going on. My name is Brother Alvin and Brother Tone, and this is the news on NSF News. You're listening to NSF News with your host, Brother Tone and Brother Alvin. All right. Listen, look. All right, Brother Tone, we got a special guest today. Brother Derek Phillips is in the house, and I would love to bring this brother on. And let's just bring him on. And this is Brother Derek Phillips. He is the CEO and founder and coordinator for the Real Dad Network. The Real Dad Network has been around since 2000. They've been dealing with fatherhood issues. They do have different kind of programs that's out there. It's just like NSF. We all on the same boat, but we're trying to help each other. So with that being said, Brother Derek, are you in the house?
Yes, yes, I'm here, man. Thank you, brothers, for inviting me here this afternoon. I really appreciate that.
All right, Brother Derek, we appreciate you coming on today. So listen up, we want to just go into a little bit, just let's dig into what is the Real Dad Network? What do you guys, what is the purpose of you guys? What do you guys do? What's your strong points, weak points? Lay it out for me. Give me the history first.
So the history, Real Dads Network is the outgrowth of a documentary that I actually did in 2000 called Real Dads, Black Men on Fatherhood, that had commentary by the late, great Ossie Davis. And I did that documentary because when I was growing up, I didn't have my father involved, so I never really had a role model, someone to look at. And then when my mother had died when I was 10, there was this, you know, I'm the youngest of three brothers and four sisters, and there was this thing that everyone was talking about, like, who's going to take Derek? Nobody wanted to take me, not even my older sibling, my older sister who took all my other siblings, but nobody wanted to take me. So I remember crying the night before the funeral of my mother and wishing that my father could take me, but my father was not in a position to take me. So I said to myself, if I ever have children, then I'm going to make sure I'm there every day for my children. So as I got older and I had kids, I have two girls. My oldest is 25 and my youngest is 20. But when my children were young, I was very, very involved. I did everything with my children. I mean, changing of the diapers, the Pampers, the strollers, bottles. I did it doing their hair. So I was very actively involved. And it really felt good to me when I would go out in public and people would say to me, wow, there goes the Mr. Mom. You know, and I'm like, wow, I'm a Mr. Mom. I felt good because I was getting some attention about being involved in my children's life. And but then I realized that I'm not a Mr. Mom. I'm a father. I'm a black father. And when it comes to black fathers, we tend to call them everything other than what they are, which is involved. So I was kind of like someone who was looked upon as this unicorn, like, you know, wow, he's involved with his kid. That's not what black fathers do. And I said, you know what, that's false. The reality is black fathers are actively involved in their children. And I said, you know what, and I have a lot of friends and families that I know that are very involved in taking care of their children. So I wanted to change that perception. So I did the documentary. And what I realized after doing a documentary is that a lot of men, a lot of fathers, black fathers, didn't really have a place to go to really get information, to get resources, to get support. So in 2004, I started Real Dads Network. And Real Dads Network, what we've been doing is we've been providing support and resources for fathers. We've been, since 2013, we've done a Real Dads Week. We're the only organization in the country that celebrates fathers for a whole week of events in New York City. We've been doing a daddy-daughter dance, and we've influenced Philadelphia to do a daddy-daughter dance, Chicago to do a daddy-daughter dance, Virginia to do a daddy-daughter dance. We've given away over 256 awards away to dads. We've given awards to John Amos, to Allen Houston, to Red Run, and a lot of other community leaders and fathers. So what we do is that we just provide a safe space for fathers to come to get support and resources, even during this pandemic. For the last 9 months, we've been meeting every Thursday. And we have over 30 fathers that come into the club virtually, and we've brought in speakers. We've dealt with topics like anxiety, coping with stress, depression, health and wellness, financial planning. So we just create that space where fathers can go, and they can also have some of those what we call real conversations. You know, iron sharpens iron. And so we try to present that space where men can just talk to men. And that's the Real Dads Network in a nutshell.
Yeah, so okay. All right, the question is I see that you have books, opportunities, stuff like that. Is there a local office that we can go to, and no matter, you know, as across the nation, is this offices, which states are you have offices at?
We don't necessarily have an office. We actually work, everything we've been doing pretty much has been out of New York City. But with the virtual Real Dads Club, we have fathers that are part of the club that are really from across the country.
Okay, okay. So, all right, so you're all right, nationwide. I like that. All right. All right, now, so is there, if let's say I'm a father, which I am, you know, and I want to join the Real Dads Network. Is there any cost to me? Is there anything I would need to join? How would I go about it? You know, how can I be part of the Real Dads Network?
So one of the things would be just going to our website and then just sending an email to, you know, realdadsnetwork@gmail.com and then joining our club. So the club meets every Thursday, and the club is, there's no cost to join the club. The club is just a space where men are just sharing information, sharing resources. We bring in guest speakers to deal with various topics as they relate to fathers and families. So that is not a cost at all. And then what we do have, as well, as that people who want to be involved in the overall mission of moving the network, we do have a membership. Well, we have a membership with options 1, 2, and 3 that people can decide to contribute at those different options if they want to help move the network. But to join the club and to get any type of support and services that we have, that's open. That doesn't cost people anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's pretty cool. I like that. All right. Beyond that, listen, I just wanted to say, you know, like, you know, this is something that we need in our community, because the value of a father has decreased, not just within the Black community, but fathers across the board. Whether they're dealing with, as far as the education of the purpose of a father, a husband, or situation, and the domino effect. Because if we can't be prime examples as fathers for our children now, and then when it comes down to it, when they get in that position as a father or to become a wife, they will not be able to know, recognize a good man or how to be a good man, per se. We as a society have looked at the father, and we have become abusive of what he stands for. And that's just my personal two cents and opinion on this situation, and it's just been going on for countless years, and a lot of fathers are giving up, and because the fathers are giving up, now guess what? They're no longer in our presence. So guess what? We are being hurt. We are not even we don't even matter anymore. You know,
we matter.
Well,
we matter.
Yeah, we do. But it's the way society is portraying the father, the husband,
right.
the position, if you want to be biblical with it, the Bible says that the man shall be the head and the woman shall be the body. The head shall bring the message to the body, and the body shall bring the motion of forwardness, or take the motion from the thought from the head. But it's not working like. It's like the head's just floating in the air. The body's going wherever it wants to go. So you know what I'm saying? This is just how we are thinking in today's society. And it's messed up.
Yeah.
It's messed up. And it's completely wrong for me. Those words shouldn't even be coming out of my mouth. Honestly, that's just honestly the situation it is. And I tell people that all the time, you know what I'm saying? So I just really think it's just something that we need in our society. We're going through these countless stress factors every day. As far as we go and work the 9 to 5. We come home. We cleaning, claiming, busting our butts at the house. We gotta go here. Daddy take me here. Mommy can't take me there. So can you? Mommy said no. You can. Daddy, will you say yes? Blah 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 blah. It's a constant thing. And then you cherish the young part, and then when it gets to the teenage part, it's a little bit. It seems a little easy on certain things, but then the tough stuff comes in. You know, like, this is my boyfriend. Or, you know, dad, how do I get a girl? And you know, those kind of questions come up. And, you know, and then, you know, and then if we talk character traits, okay, now let's get into the character trait situation. One of the things I always like to do is analyze the situation, analyze the problem, and find a greater solution. Now, the problem is when a child has a situation where they are participating in anything in the teenage years, your characteristics start to come out on your child. Like, let's say you're the kid that stole candy from the store, okay? You're the kid that stole candy from the store, and when you stole candy from the store, you sit there, and as the candy was being stolen from the store, you get caught. Now, next generation comes around, guess what? Your son or daughter gets caught stealing stuff from stores. And you're like, no, you ain't supposed to do that. I made a mistake and did that. That was stupid. Why are you doing it? Then you like, then you have to ask your question, why did you do it? And so, you know, these kind of things come into place. It's trying to make sure that we are correcting the mistakes of our past within our children. Make sure that genetic coding is there. That's why companies like the Real Dad Network, the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation, those kind of programs are primal and very, very good for us as a society. We need to be on. We need to be ready. We need to get going with it and just allow us to be able to function properly. And if we can't function properly, it's because we are not allowing ourselves to watch our children, because we're so distracted with so many things. We're trying to make sure that they're set for the future. We're trying to make sure that they everything's already put together. But we have so many hats as fathers and husbands to take on, that we, you know, sometimes we drop the ball. So programs like this, programs like the Real Dad Network, some of the other dad fatherhood programs that's out there, is vital for us as a community and as a society. So, you know, Brother Derek, that brings me to that question. How do you fix these problems that we are having, this genetic coding problems that we see in fathers today when we drop the ball? What is your solution on fixing these kind of issues in today's 2020, Father?
Well, you know, I go back to, and you have brought this up as well, I think a lot of it starts with changing the perception. And when I say, you know, when I talk about changing a perception, it's really about stating the facts. So even like, you know, when we hear this thing about over 70% of black children are growing up without a father. So we hear that stat a lot, but the reality is that's false. So what we have to do is that we have to really start going deep and stop taking things on surface level, because that statistic states that over 70% of children are growing up in a household without a father. It doesn't mean the father is not present in the child's life. We know as black men, there are so many of us that have friends, family members that are involved in their children's life, but they may not live in the same home because they've separated. So that father who is very involved in that child's life is placed in that statistic of 70% of children who don't have a father. So we have to be very careful about the language and the words that we use and really understand what things mean. So it doesn't mean, you know, we can't operate from this deficit mentality, because we're not in a deficit mentality. 2013, CDC did a report. And based on their report, they said black fathers were more actively involved in raising their children than any other ethnic group. That's a fact.
They reported it. So the challenge that we have is that we can't be led by mainstream media, because mainstream media goal and purpose is not to strengthen black families, it's to destroy black families. So we have to create our own narratives, and we can't be surface. We have to go deep and really say, wow, when we look at what's happening in our communities, black fathers are involved. We are taking care of our children. We are there. Yeah, there's some of us that really need help in regards to jobs, in regards to some of the other resources. We need some support and help, but we just don't abandon our children. That was something that was set for, you know, when they talked about in the early 1960s and 70s. No, black fathers are actively involved. You look on social media, you see nothing but black fathers involved. So we have to change that narrative. So that is the first thing I would say for us, and I think for us it becomes as black men, the words that we use when we talk about fathers. So when we start seeing these things that are completely false, that we have to call those things out. But we also have to know what they are, and we have to know where we are, you know, and we have to know for the fact that, you know, we are involved. Do we need support? Yes, that's why we have the Real Dads Club, because one of the things that we know as black men, one of the things that we tend to do all the time is our focus is always outside, outside, outside. Let me take care of my children. Let me take care of the wife. Let me take care of the house. Let me take care of the cousin. Let me take care of the uncle. So we're constantly bouncing. And you're dealing with racism, and you're dealing with all the other stuff, systemic racism. So you're dealing with all that stuff. But everything for us is focused on outside. So one of the things that we focus on in the Real Dads Club is that you got to focus on you. When you get on a plane, the first thing they say is, before you put the mask on the child, make sure you take care of yourself. So therefore, at the Real Dads Club, what we talk about the importance of, one, your mental health, understanding what are your stress levels, understanding some of your areas where you need help. Focus on you, strengthen you, because once I strengthen you and you're strong, then I know the family's going to be strong. But if you're not able to strengthen yourself, then you can't strengthen the family. You can't strengthen the community. So you got to watch what you eat. You got to exercise. You got to do all those different things and make sure you're in place. Because if you take care of you, we know who you are. We know you're going to take care of your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Brother
that's
Tone?
That's yeah, man. First and foremost,
yeah, man.
I want to extend the roses to both of you, you know, as fathers that are active, you know, in the community, and also utilizing foundations and programs and such to reach out, to network with others, to actually help them. Yeah, man, to help them build the self-esteem that they need to continue to push forward. And, you know, I've been through a divorce, and one thing that I've said or that I've noticed as far as self-awareness when I was resetting and getting myself situated to move forward in life, I was thinking, and I was like, man, I was so selfish. I gave myself to the other individual, but I did not give enough to myself. And I was like, you know, no longer will I neglect myself and put myself in second position, you know, as I'm moving forward. And, you know, Mr. Phillips, you know, I like what I see here in the program in itself, and I definitely have, again, I'd like to commend you for all that you are doing with your foundation with the Real Dads Network. And a question that I have for you here, I've seen something in one of your recent posts on Instagram. Can you tell us a little bit about the Real Dads Book Club?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. So one of the things we started a Real Dads Book Club, and I have a black man reading, Jared Woods out of Mississippi, who actually heads the club, and he's also a teacher in Mississippi. So one of the challenges is that when you look at the research, right, they were saying when it comes to adults reported that only about 27% of adults actually stated that they read at least more than one book a year. All right, 27% of adults stated they read more than one book a year. Now, when we're looking at us as fathers and as parents, right, one of the things, what are we always telling our kids? Go to school. Education is important. But the most important thing that you can ever do for a child is model the behavior you want. So if you want your child to be educated and you want your child to read, then model the behavior. Why don't you read? If you want your child to be involved in discussion and problem solve, why don't you get involved in a group where you're having discussion and talking about problem solving? So as adults, what I've learned and what I know, children listen. And I'm a former educator. I'm a retired assistant principal from a high school. And what I can tell you is that when it comes to young people, they are going to follow what you do more than what you say. And when it comes to children, we can't tell our children to just education is important, to read and all that stuff, but we're not modeling the behavior. So that's why we said when we look at black men, we know black men and not read books. So what we're saying to black men, you need to read books. Yeah, when your kids are like in the first grade, second grade, they may read the little books, but they're not involved in any groups or any activities where they're actually reading themselves and engaging in discussion. So model the behavior you want for your child. One of the dads that was in the book club, he said his daughter had said to him, "Dad, what are you doing reading a book? You're reading a book, Dad? Wow." Yeah, but a little thing, but it makes such a big difference. That's why our book club is so huge, because we need to model the behavior that we want for our children.
I love it, man. I like that, because I used to coach youth athletics, and you're right. You know, when I look on that sideline, if it isn't practice, definitely game day. When I look on that sideline, you know,
yeah.
I can definitely look at all those fathers hanging on. You know, whether they're in a relationship with the mother or not, they're definitely there on Saturdays, on game days, you know, rooting for their kids to participate in these athletics. So definitely we are active. And you know, my question about the book club, you know, I think it's a great concept, because, you know, they've incorporated so many scholastic tests that are required for the youth to advance. So it's not even about you passing the class anymore, because I remember my little sister, the youngest in my family, she found herself in a situation where she had all passing marks, but she couldn't pass the FCAT in Florida. And I think that was a fifth grade test, and she was retained. And, you know, I'm scratching my head like, what the world is going on? I'm like, you know, I'm looking at the report card, I'm having a conversation with my mother, and we're discussing, and they were like, well, you know, she couldn't move on because she didn't get the comprehensive score in reading, because it was a science and reading portion that the FCAT was measuring. And again, I think it's a great concept, man. And I had a conversation earlier where I was just talking about some of my personal time where I was reading up on some older religious leaders in the black community. And I, you know, it was just shocking, the information that I'm learning here now at 42. And yep. I was just like, wow, I never knew that. But of course I wouldn't know that, because, you know, throughout history, you know, why would they highlight us? Why would they tell our story? And on top of the experience to read, I think this will open the door for a whole new generation of writers in the youth. And it's very necessary, because I don't feel that enough. I don't feel that we capture our culture, our community, our experiences enough in our own words.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely think there's a need for that. So again, I commend you, and I'm going to definitely look into that book club situation myself, you know, cause I have younger children, and I just want them, like you said, I just want to sit down at the table with them beyond the cat, hat, rat type book.
Yeah.
And sit down and read with them and let them see me doing that. And definitely, man. And this is one of my quotes that I consistently use, and I tell people, you are what you see.
Yes. Yes.
Or what you see.
Yep. And you remember that old adage when they used to always say, you know, if you want to hide something from black people, where do you put it?
In the book.
In the book.
and I've heard that for many years, and so over the last 2 years, I'm heavily into audiobooks, and you're right, man. It's you find so much information, and you have a different type of gratification and appreciation for a book versus a movie situation, because it empowers you. You know,
yeah.
once you have that information, especially if it's accurate information that you can speak to, you know, you'll find yourself in dialogue with others, you know, conversing, and they'll be looking at you like, wow, what did you learn that at? You know, and I'm like, it's right. And then I go back and I'm like, yeah, it's in this specific book right here. And they're like, damn. You know,
and that's your evidence.
People.
That's your receipts.
Those are my receipts. You're correct. Yes, in modern slang, yeah, that's my receipts right there. But yeah, man, I love it. I love it, man. And it's big. It's positive. It's big. It's positive, man. And I really want to say this, you know, for what we are doing on this end, as well as what you're doing, man. It's kind of like that old adage of the church, you know, let's get our men back, you know, one
yeah.
soul at a time, man. Let's bring guys together. Let's you know, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves is traveling. And I, you know, when I travel to other countries and other places, I may go and I'm with, you know, I'm in a group, and the group may be 10 to 1, 10 to 2 males to female ratio, where it's 10 women to that one or two males that's traveling. You know, and I encourage this, man, you know, and I take this from reading alone.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at the Lewis and Clarks, and when you're reading other things, they were exploring. They were looking.
Yeah.
They were traveling the world, and they were learning. And the more you travel, to me, it's more rewarding and educational than sometimes the books, definitely the movies, but sometimes the books even more so, because you have that real experience where you're meeting people at ground level, and you're learning as opposed to getting something from hearsay, where, you know, you may have read something multiple times saying that, for example, this particular African country is like this, and you get there and they're like, they show you a whole new world, and you're like, you're blown away, because, you know, you're taking that, you're erasing all of the stigma, you know, by taking that that attempt to travel and learn from other people, man. So yeah, man, we gotta big up the men, man. The men gotta get stronger,
yep.
Man. We definitely have to have a stronger foundation in our households, you know, whether we're with the women or not. But I would hope that we can stay together more so, and encourage women to embrace us and celebrate us as well, as much as we try to celebrate them.
But you know,
yeah,
when it comes to women, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
When it comes to our women, they are there for us. You know, I think for us, it's just a matter of us as men, just really, one, putting down the ego, you know, and all that other stuff, and those guards and everything that we hold, and just say, you know what, let me just be vulnerable and let us work together. Because a lot of times, the biggest challenges that we tend to have is that when men always want to control everything, and it's me, 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 so we have to get rid of that attitude. So it's not about me individually, but it's about us collectively. I am building something individually because I know it's for us collectively. So we got to work on us as men in terms of the ego and that whole thing about my. I want to be the one that's the leader of it. We all can be the leaders. We need everybody to just play their part.
Right. Now, I want to ask you, tell me some about the people that work with you, or give me some of these I see on the program, on the information, you have a Nikki D's. Nick, am I pronouncing that right?
Oh, yeah, Nikki D. She was a co-director and co-producer of the documentary, which was act 20 years ago. So she was a co- – and she worked at HBO.
Okay, what about Otis Davis? Who's Otis Davis?
Oh, Ozzie Davis.
Ozzie Davis.
Ozzie Davis is Ozzie Davis is a legend. It's a pie. He passed away. But Ozzie Davis is one of the greatest actors and activists that lived. So
with the brother with the beard and the gray hair and the always used to do those voices. He was up there. What was the movie he did? With Mama's Family. Mama something. I know him, but he did
the eulogy. Malcolm X died, right? Have you ever heard the eulogy?
Shining
Like Prince. Ozzie Davis gave the eulogy.
Whoa, yo. Oh, okay. So you work with some big heads out there, ain't you?
No, Ozzie Davis is a legend. Ozzie Davis is on the same level as like a Harry Belafonte. Ozzie Davis is a legend.
Yeah. Legend. Everybody knows Harry Belafonte. Okay,
they were at that same time. Ozzie Davis was it. He actually was supporting Malcolm X and Martin and stuff like that. So Ozzie Davis is civil rights activist. He's a legend.
Okay. All right, listen, it's about that time to pay the bills. So listen, we're going to go into and get a little bit of payment commercial. Now, don't forget, every Monday, Tuesday,
what's
on
going
NSF
on?
Radio.
You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. And don't forget, every Thursday with us, we are the Powerhouse Squad. And every week, we are...
Tune in to the Powerhouse Squad.
All right, the Powerhouse Squad is in. And don't forget, every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, we got Brother Kofi is in the house, 10 p.m. All right, Kofi speaks with the man, the wise man, the old man, the oldest, the shadow band one, the man that's in the back. Always there on you. Kofi speaks. Get that knowledge in your head.
They all come along like Eyal to Yahshua. Eyal come along like Eyal to Elohim. Eyal come along like
Eyal. All right, that's Kofi's speech every 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, you're right there. Now we're going to get into a little music. Since the occasion has permitted us, we're going to play a little tune to relax a little back. And here's Luther Vandross, If I Can Dance With My Father Again.
To with my father again. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, the dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. Cause I'd love, love, love with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even.
That is going on.
We're getting down to that time right now. I want to say, Brother Derek, we appreciate you coming on today. And, you know, and joining the Powerhouse Squad. We are the Powerhouse Squad. And trust me, we are the powerhouse of mind and respect. All right. So, Brother Derek, listen, want to ask everybody, please, if you get a chance, you want to contact Brother Derek, please go to, Real Dad Network, .org, and get in touch with the brother. Is there a phone number that they can contact you directly if they want to join or talk to you or anything like that? Can you give us a phone?
212-875-7725.
All right. Once again, that number is
212 area code 875-7725.
All right. That's the Real Dad Network. We're in the house, so we definitely want to get into that. We appreciate that. Keeping it real, keeping it moving, keeping it calm, and keeping it collective. We must be on our P's and Q's. All right. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Strength is needed. Strong-minded is needed. People are needed. We are the NSF Radio Show, and we are here for you. All right, so we're going to get into the next part of the show. Let's let you know we got a few more minutes before we close down for the shop, because you know it's 1:49 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, we want to always have a little fun, keep it going, you know, a little bit craziness. So, Brother Derek, tell me the most silliest thing you've done as a father to make your children laugh?
Boy, the most serious thing I've done as a father to make them laugh?
Yes.
Well, I tend to tell jokes, but they think they're corny, but...
Okay, so what kind of jokes are there, man? Hey, I like to hear a good joke.
I'm not
come
a
on.
Joker, but I was just trying to make them.
No, God, come on, man. Come on.
No,
listen,
I believe you. They're like,
come on. You're corny. Nah,
I'm like,
you know,
I'm not.
You're just like Howard Stern, and we know we do a little bit.
I'll keep those things in. I'll keep those things quiet.
I'll start off. Okay, listen. The most funniest, corniest thing I've ever done for my son. It was on the conference call with my daughter because she lives in California with her mother. We got on the phone. And we started talking, doing a video, zooming and everything like that. So I got it in my head. I said, you know what? I'm going to start making funny faces. So I started making googly, googly, googly eyes. She said, Daddy, you funny. Daddy, you funny. I said, you silly, Daddy. I said, well, I'm silly. Yes, I am silly. I'm Daddy. I'm silly. I'm the silly Daddy. I am the silly daddy. She said, Daddy, you real silly. I was like, cool. And then next thing I know, she started trying to push the button. You know how Facebook Messenger, they got the effect faces now. You can change places and play video games and all that. I'm on there sitting up. I'm like, come on. You know, they're talking. You know, she starts going off and she, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to become a birthday cake. So I changed my face to a birthday cake. She said, Daddy, can I eat your face? I said, no. So, you know, it gets a little crazy, you know. Being a dad is not, you know, it can be fun. You know, you do little fun things. You know, you got to keep the levity there, that laughter going. You know, God forbid, you know, that's one of the reasons I played Luther that song because my father just passed away back in May, partially of health conditions, but I think I know for a fact COVID had a peak interest into his passing because COVID was starting out a little bit and already was there And then my stepmother, his current wife at the time, she passed away right after he did. And it was like back-to-back-to-back death. And it just like, it drove so crazy. But, you know, you think about, you never really understood what your job or role as a father is until you are a father or you're about to be a father. It depends on how your mind is built or how you see perception of things. It's a constant thing. And it's growth. That's why, you know, why I always tell people, you know, we need to put something aside for fathers that are coming through. You know, like I've had clients or fathers who has come to me and given up. You know, I've had a father actually come up to me and says, I'd rather sleep on the street than pay child support. I said, okay, what's wrong with you trying to take care of your child? Every time I work, 75% of my income goes to the child support. I can't even live anyways, but in a tent. You know, it's a shame that we are in a society that, yes, Scripture does say that if there is a divorce, and most scriptures it tells you to take care of the children and the child situation, but it's a hard knock thing, you know. So I want to say that. Go ahead, Brother Tom.
I think we have to measure that, and we have to be mature as men, as fathers. When a relationship is ending, and that in itself is love language too, because we have to We have to allow cool heads to prevail so that we can work things out so that it's amicable, so that we can be active and there's no continuous conflict between us and the other party, that we're no longer sharing, you know, a home or bed space with anymore.
Right, right. Okay. All right, you know, it's that time right now. We're getting ready to lock down. I say, Brother Deborah, we appreciate you coming on today. We appreciate you being part of the show. Hey, listen, I'm personally, on behalf of the Powerhouse Squad, I would love to give you an open invitation anytime you want to come on. Just give us the word and come on. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for inviting me here today. And you also need to know anything that you need from me as well, just let me know as well. So if
you
come on to fill in or whatever, just whatever you need from me, I'm open as well.
All right. Today we're going to we also want to give a big out to our brother Kobe. He's not able to make it with us today. So we keep him on our prayers. All fans out there, I know your Kobe heads are out there. Them Kobe fans are out there. I know you out there, and I know you're listening, and I know you miss your man, and you haven't heard him today, but he's not able to come in today. So, but keep him in your prayers, and keep going on. Next Thursday, we have a special guest, a gentleman that's been with a video he did on TikTok has gone viral. This man has hit in over 2.5 million views. And with this view, it had to do with the election, and the way he put out there was brilliant. We will be having him on the show. Also, we are going to be doing a special next week. We're going to be talking about health, wellness. Keeping the wheel. So everybody, bring it on. Come on the show. If you got tips to keep your body healthy, if you know little tools that we can use or something like that, health and wellness is going to be going because we're getting into the holiday season. With Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah, and all the holidays are starting to come up. You know, we might end up fatter than we are now, or put the extra pounds off. Well, we need to be able to find a way to work it right off. So keep it going. Also, don't forget, since it is December, we will be doing a Kwanzaa special on the 26th of December. Please tune in. If you do not know nothing about Kwanzaa, you want to know something about Kwanzaa, we will be doing a Kwanzaa special on the 26th of this month. And don't forget, NSF Radio will be live and in your house every week. All right. My name is Brother Alfred, and this is the Powerhouse Squad. Powerhouse Squad, found out.
Thank you. See you next week, guys.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. All right. So, everybody, we're about to bounce out here today. So keep it going and keep it moving. And don't forget, when you're on NSF, you're on the best.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. With your host, Brother Alfred, and Carl.
All right, remember, I may fall down, but I always get back up. All right, until next time, peace.